The Dutch driver continues his domination of Formula One. New year, but no new winner. Max Verstappen, still the driver to beat. Max Verstappen wins the season opener. He takes the Bahrain Grand Prix. And Max Verstappen is lighting up a trail once again. Red Bull expected, Red Bull delivered.
That's Max Verstappen handling business as expected at the season's opening race. But even though Verstappen and his Red Bull team are off to the start we expected, the focus hasn't been on their performance during races. That's because team principal Christian Horner has had a complaint of sexual harassment, coercion, and abusive behavior lodged against him by a female employee of the team. So today, ESPN F1 editor and co-host of the Unlapped podcast, Lawrence Edmondson, explains how this allegation opened the door to a power struggle within Formula One's best team that could ultimately lead to Verstappen switching lanes in the future. I'm Israel Gutierrez, in for Clinton Yates. It's Wednesday, April 3rd. This is ESPN Daily. Lawrence Edmondson, we're a few weeks into the 2024 Formula One season, and Red Bull has been leading the pack so far. But that hasn't been the biggest story of the F1 ecosphere. What's been going on?
The main story in Formula One has not been about what's been going on track in Formula One, of course, the racing. It's been about what's going on off track. And this seeming power struggle combined with some very serious allegations surrounding the Red Bull team principal, Christian Horner.
Red Bull have just launched an investigation after allegations of inappropriate behaviour were made against Christian Horner, of course, the team principal of the company's Formula One team. An external and independent party will carry out the investigation, they say. Horner denies the allegations and will continue in his role while this investigation continues. The investigation was confirmed.
Now, the allegations were made by a female employee and they were of inappropriate behaviour. It was investigated by Red Bull, and not the Red Bull F1 team, but Red Bull's parent company. And Red Bull decided to dismiss the allegations made against Christian Horner. But that wasn't the end of the story by any means.
These are now reports that the woman who initially made those complaints of inappropriate behaviour against Christian Horner, that she has been suspended. Now, we don't know that for sure in terms of verifying it. Sky News hasn't verified it. Christian Horner has all along denied any of those allegations, and he was cleared by an investigation, as you say, carried out by the parent company of Red Bull just days before the Formula One season started. And it was
So when Red Bull was launching its car, we were aware of these allegations made against Christian Horner and into the first race weekend in Bahrain. Now, it really dominated that first race. And even after Christian Horner had the allegations against him had been dismissed, it continued to rumble on, not least because there were some leaks of further information about the investigation, including an email which was sent to all of the permanent journalists in Formula One, plus team principals, alleging to have screenshots of text messages sent by the complainant and by Christian Horner to each other. But it did create this environment at Red Bull right at the very start of the season where no one was talking about their success on track. It was all about what was going on within the team at the very top and these very serious allegations.
Tell me about these leaks that have happened throughout this investigation within the Red Bull team.
So right from the very start, the fact that we knew about this, I think Red Bull was a little bit upset about the fact that this came into public knowledge. They wanted this investigation to happen behind closed doors, keep a level of anonymity around the people contributing to the investigation and come to a conclusion by themselves without the pressure of the media and the world finding out about it. But It leaked quite early on in the process, long before they'd actually come to a decision. So we knew about this, and that, of course, put a huge amount of pressure on the team and also on Red Bull to come up with some transparency here as well, to let us know exactly what was happening within their team, because the accusations were so serious, and to have that against somebody who's such a high figure within Formula One, someone who's been at the center of the Drive to Survive series, on Netflix. You know, it was serious, and there was this huge amount of pressure to have some transparency around it. And so there's no way of knowing if these emails are legitimate. They came from an anonymous email address. Christian Horner said that he wasn't going to comment on speculative messages from an unknown source. But it means that a lot of the nitty-gritty of this has been out there, and you know, it is out there across the internet as well.
So this has all been investigated and then dismissed. Has that been the end of the situation? Where are we with this right now?
We're now at the point where the female employee has decided to appeal the decision by the wider Red Bull company, and we're waiting on what happens next in this ongoing saga, which not only has obviously very serious implications for the sport as a whole and what's going on in it, but also for the characters within Red Bull, which for people who are not familiar with Formula One, is the dominant team in Formula One right now by some margin, to an extent that, you know, we haven't really seen since Lewis Hamilton was winning race after race after race throughout kind of 2014, 15, 16.
So in spite of Team Red Bull finishing first and second in two of the first three races of the season, with all this happening away from the track, not the best start to the year for Red Bull.
No, not at all. And like I said, it's so strange because you've got this team that is dominating Formula One, and yet it has this scandal around it. So, of course, the car isn't aware of what's going on at the very top of this team. The car is actually an incredible piece of engineering and, you know, an incredible machine. But around all of that, you have this drama. Yet somehow, it hasn't really meant that they've skipped a beat. They've continued to be successful on the track, and they continue to be the absolute favourites to win the championship this season.
Coming up, how this scandal at Red Bull gave way to a power struggle at the top of the team.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So, Lawrence, you've taken us through the broad strokes of the controversy surrounding Red Bull off the track, and we know that so far there hasn't been a really tangible impact on their results on the track in these first three races. Max Verstappen and his teammate Sergio Perez have finished first and second, respectively, in two of the first three. So have you found any impact on the personnel to all of this?
Well, this investigation exposed what we kind of knew was going on behind the scenes at Red Bull, but is now much more open. And that's that there's a power struggle right at the top of this team. On one side, you've got Christian Horner, and the allegations have been used, I think, to some extent by other parts of the Red Bull Racing team management to try and unsettle his position. Now, one person who's key to all this is Helmut Marko, who's the Red Bull advisor. And I'm not going into too much detail, but he was very close to Dietrich Mateschitz, who was the founder of Red Bull, and it was his idea to have a Formula One team in the first place. Now, Dietrich Mateschitz died in 2022, and Marko's position thereafter has been somewhat questioned, but he actually signed a new contract very recently, coming into this year. And so he, I think, still wants to remained influential within the team. And the one person that he's very close to, Helmut Marko, is Max Verstappen. And of course, Max Verstappen is the best driver, arguably, in Formula One. He's certainly the most successful of the last few years. He's won the last three Drivers' Championship. You'll struggle to find anyone in the paddock that doesn't believe that he's going to win a fourth this year. And so his future, it has come into question. And part of that as well is because Max Verstappen's father, who understandably is very linked into Max's career, he was the guy that put him in a go-kart when he was, you know, 4 or 5 right. years old. He was a guy that made sure that he drove him up and down Europe racing in different competitions. And Jos Verstappen came out after the Bahrain Grand Prix, the first race of the season, when all of this exploded into the public view, and said that Christian Horner, because of the tensions that this investigation had created, would have to leave his position, essentially.
Jos Verstappen says there is tension here while he remains in position. The team is in danger of being torn apart. It can't go on the way it is. It will explode. He is playing the victim when he is the one causing the problem. So, what we have here.
Now, Jos saying that, he's not a member of the Red Bull team. He doesn't have any contract directly with Red Bull other than via his son. But him saying that put Max in a very difficult position, because all of a sudden everyone was thinking, wow, if Jos is saying that Christian has to leave or this team is going to, well, in Jos's words, explode, then what's the future for Max? And that's been the real question. Could Max walk away from this winning machine that he's in, which would be remarkable, not least because he currently has a contract through to the end of 2028, which he signed in 2022.
You mentioned a power struggle at the top of Red Bull, Lawrence, one that includes Helmut Marko, who the Verstappens are very close to. Does it feel like that alliance between the Verstappens and Marko could be motivating Jos Verstappen to be outspoken here?
I think the alliance with Helmut is very clear. It perhaps is the case, and although this hasn't been said, but it seems to be the case that this situation at the start of the year has allowed Helmut Marko and Jos Verstappen to try and make a move to gain a little bit more power within the team. And as Jos Verstappen said after Bahrain, try and actually oust Christian Horner from the team. You know, he did say that the tension within the team while Christian was in that position was so great that something would have to happen, i.e. Christian would have to leave. And so, you know, those comments were huge, absolutely huge, to have someone who is not employed by the team, Jos Verstappen, but is so connected with it and obviously so influential in his son's career and his son's future, to be speaking out about the team boss like that is on another level. So things have calmed down a bit since, but it does seem like there's still underlying tensions. I think some of them have been ironed out, but there's still the potential for this to bubble up again. And I think some of the stuff that's happened as well won't be that easily forgotten. Some of the comments that have been made in the media still exist there today and are still referenced as we continue to report on this story. So whether everyone can just pull together for the good of the success of the team, because they are still winning races, because they are still hugely successful, because they don't want to rock the boat to the point that the whole thing falls apart. But, you know, there is this clear power struggle at the very top, and quite how that's going to play out over the next year or so remains to be seen, but it will be crucial for the future of the Red Bull team and, of course, Max Verstappen going forward.
Is Jos Verstappen's influence over his son really sizable enough to alter the trajectory of Max's future, especially if he's signed to Red Bull till 2028?
In Max, you have this hugely talented guy who has this, you know, this relationship with his father, where the two of them have been so successful coming up through it. But it's also been, I think, a slightly strained relationship at times as well. But look, Max's future, you know, it's hard to imagine him staying at a team without his father's approval. It's essentially what it comes down to. And so, for Jos, basically, whatever he wants for his son, it is likely to happen. Now, the one thing that has calmed everything around this whole situation over the last two races is that Jos hasn't been at the track. He was in Bahrain for the first race, but then he hasn't been at the track for the next two races. And so everything has kind of gone a little bit back to normal. And the relationship between Jos and Christian has also said to be improved somewhat, that they've had a chance to thrash things out, sit down together, have talks away from the pressure of the Formula One paddock and the environment of a race weekend. And so there's a belief that perhaps things are starting to be patched up now to the point that they can continue in a team together, and therefore Max can continue at Red Bull.
Just to put things in perspective a little bit, this is kind of like Patrick Mahomes Sr. pushing his son Patrick Mahomes into walking away from the Kansas City Chiefs before his contract is up. That's what effectively this would be like if Max were to leave Red Bull before 2028, that level of shock.
Absolutely. And look, the one thing that keeps going for everyone's mind here is that it's actually in everyone's interest within Red Bull, Christian Horner, Max Verstappen, Jos Verstappen, Helmut Marko, to ensure that they continue winning. That's what they're all in Formula One to do. And, you know, whether one side wants to take a bit more control within the team or another, the thing that they mustn't do is unsettle the team to the point that when the next regulation change comes in 2026, which is always kind of chapters within Formula One history of who's successful and who's not, that they continue to be successful into that next regulation change in 2026. So everyone is keen to make sure Max keeps winning, to bring it out of the public eye a little bit and focus on these power struggles behind closed doors rather than have it all play out in front of everyone and in the media. But it's been such a remarkable start to the season that I wouldn't rule anything out going into the next few races.
Coming up, how the drama at Red Bull could impact the future of the sport.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Lawrence, I guess tampering isn't a thing in Formula One because Mercedes boss Toto Wolff told reporters that Max Verstappen is their first pick for the slot that'll be freed up in the wake of Lewis Hamilton's upcoming departure. Do you see this happening, and what would it mean for Mercedes to gain Verstappen?
Toto Wolff has said a number of times that any team would, in his words, do handstands to get hold of Max Verstappen in one of their cars. But the difficulty is that no other team is really competing regularly with Red Bull for race victories. And the only one that has won a race in the last season and a bit that we've had so far is Ferrari. And they have a full drive lineup next year with Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc. Mm-hmm. So when you start to look at options if Max Verstappen were to leave, and we're still talking about a big if here, you work down the order and you quite naturally come on Mercedes because they've won 8 titles in recent years and they've been hugely successful, of course, mainly with Lewis Hamilton. So they have this vacancy coming up because Lewis is making that move to Ferrari. And how do you fill that? How do you bring someone in who can fill Lewis Hamilton's boots? Well, the reality is you can't because Lewis Hamilton's a global megastar. But from a pure performance point of view, Max Verstappen is the closest thing, arguably, some people would say that a little bit better, particularly because he's that bit younger and has so much of his career left. So Mercedes would love to get hold of Max Verstappen, and Toto Wolff would love it even more because he has a long-standing rivalry with Christian Horner. And so to take Max from Red Bull would be huge. The reality of it, I don't know. I think, you know, it still needs a lot to go wrong at Red Bull for Max to walk away from that contract. And as I say, just the mood music from the last few races seems to suggest that things are calming down. But if you start to look at Max's options outside, Mercedes is right up there. And then the other one maybe is Aston Martin, a team which doesn't have the history of success. Only recently in recent years became Aston Martin. It was previously a team called Racing Point, and before that Force India's long history of fairly mediocre results, but they've had huge investments. So that could be the only other possible team I can see that could lure Max Verstappen away from Red Bull on the promise of long-term investment in success and winning races.
Is there a sort of a made-for-TV drama element should Lewis Hamilton leave Mercedes for Ferrari and then be replaced by his biggest rival, Max Verstappen?
Oh, there absolutely is. There absolutely is. And also, don't forget that I hope your listeners are aware of the 2021 Formula One season, which went down to the final lap of the final race. And Max Verstappen beat Lewis Hamilton to the championship in very controversial circumstances. Max Verstappen was part of that rival team, that Red Bull team that was fighting against Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes. So for him to move from one to the other would also be remarkable. I mean, that would be a huge story. So, there would be a lot of drama. And look, that's what Formula One feeds off. The fact that Lewis Hamilton is going to Ferrari was already a pretty big story within Formula One. But to then have him replaced by Max Verstappen would be absolutely huge. But we are still talking about a big if here, as I said, depending on what happens at Red Bull.
Well, keeping up with Red Bull personnel here, tell me about Adrian Newey. Who is he and what's the speculation over his future with Red Bull?
So when we talk about Formula One teams, really we're talking about a group of engineers. They're the people that come up with the design philosophy for these cars to make them go fast and to ultimately win races. And the key engineer, the key designer at Red Bull for a long time, well, since 2007, since he joined, has been Adrian Newey. And there's been periods of success and periods of less success. But right now, he's really on form. He's nailed this set of regulations that came about in 2022. Found a way to create an incredibly fast car. Now, he's got a huge team of engineers around him, but he's the guy at the very top. And there's been a number of aspects of the success of this Red Bull that you can link to ideas and concepts that he has worked on and he's been a huge part of. So for Adrian Newey to leave would be, it's like a star player leaving a team. You know, it really is. You have the drivers, of course, and that's where a lot of the focus is. But the engineers are the guys that make the cars go fast. As Lewis Hamilton will tell you, a seven-time world champion, if the car is not good enough, as his isn't this year, then you can't, you know, even challenge for top three sometimes. You know, you certainly can't challenge for race wins. So if Adrian Newey were to leave, it would really unsettle Red Bull. This, I think this would be the biggest thing that would pull apart Red Bull and start the decline of the team, would be if Adrian Newey were to leave. And there's been a number of rumours in recent weeks. First of all, that he might be going to Ferrari. It seems like that one is probably wide of the mark. But then also recently that Aston Martin, the team I was just talking about, the team that's investing so heavily in the future in Formula One, is also looking to get hold of Adrian Newey. And that would be huge for them to pair a brilliant engineer with the engineers they've already managed to pick from other teams. But, you know, a real top engineer within Formula One at the very top, leading the design process with this new facility that they've invested millions and millions of dollars into.
What kind of restrictions are we talking about if you were to want to get up and go to a new team, Newey?
Well, Adrian signed a new contract last year with Red Bull. We don't know how long it is, and we also don't know what the exit clauses is. I mean, this is the thing about Formula One, is that we have all these contracts that we talk about, Max Verstappen through to 2028. But we know from the start of this year, Lewis Hamilton, we thought, was contracted to the end of 2025, but it turned out he had an exit clause in his contract at the end of this year, and he's decided to take it to move to Ferrari. So the same things exist for various people within teams as well. They usually have to sit out a period of what we call gardening leave to make sure they don't take too many up-to-date secrets over to another team. But it's entirely possible that Adrian Newey could find a way out of his current contract and move somewhere else. Also, there's this factor, you know, if someone wants to leave a Formula One team, you can try and convince them to stay. But if their mind is made up and they really want to go, then there's little point in keeping them because, you know, you need people who are fully energized and fully committed to a team's purpose and a team's future. Now, Adrian hasn't really given any public signals whatsoever that he wants to leave Red Bull. This is all speculation behind the scenes. And Adrian's future is always speculated upon because he is just so good. And so, whether he ends up somewhere else, you know, it's going to be down to him and it's going to be down to what he feels Red Bull can still offer him and perhaps what he feels Red Bull represents after this big power struggle at the top.
So the drama has to be set aside because the Japanese Grand Prix is coming up this weekend. What are you most excited to see in the race itself?
Well, Suzuka is absolutely one of my favorite circuits anywhere in the world because it's high speed. The barriers are actually incredibly close to the track. And so there's this element of risk and reward all around the track. So just seeing a Formula One car go around Suzuka is enough to get me excited. But it's also worth tuning in because it looks like we could have quite a wet race day. And whenever there's rain in Formula One, there's always a possibility of accidents, of things going awry for various teams. And right now, as we saw in Australia, probably the one thing that's going to trip up Max Verstappen at this stage is a bit of unpredictability and a few things going slightly wrong. So I'm hopeful of, one, seeing the cars go around the spectacular circuit, but also a thrilling race in the wet.
It's one of the earlier races. We're still early in the season. What else is coming down the pipeline? What are you looking forward to?
Well, we've got the first race back in the United States in Miami, not too far away now. I'm very much looking forward to returning to the United States to cover that one. And then also there is this ongoing story of who's the second best in Formula One behind Red Bull. Now, that doesn't sound that exciting, does it? But everyone is trying to put themselves in a position where they can start to challenge Red Bull, either when they trip up or perhaps next year when they've had another chance to go back to the drawing boards over the winter, redesign their cars slightly to take the challenge. And at the moment, Ferrari is the team that is emerging as the best team behind Red Bull. Of course, they won the last race in Australia with Carlos Sainz. It was partly because Red Bull hit problems, but the Ferrari looked a lot more competitive. So what I'm hoping is that over the next few races, Ferrari start to unlock more performance from their car and can start to challenge Red Bull more regularly. And essentially, we get more exciting races. I don't think we're going to have a championship battle that goes down to the final race like we saw in 2021, like everyone really wants to see just for the competitive nature of it. But I think we could see Ferrari emerge as a more dominant force. And of course, that's also interesting because we know Lewis Hamilton is leaving Mercedes at the end of this year to go there. So, you know, I think everyone wants to see Lewis get a chance before the end of his career in a race-winning car, and whether Ferrari can put themselves in that position for next year or at least into 2026.
Well, Lawrence, now I'll just begin the process of forgetting everything you've told me before season 7 of Drive to Survive comes out, so that it'll all be fresh information. But thank you anyway for all the insight.
Thank you.
I'm Israel Gutierrez. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow.